You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 3, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3. Everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're on the air with a live SoundCloud teaching. And then when we're off the air, the Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray fervently for America. And then the Holy Spirit leads me to pray for everybody who comes in here one by one, personally, individually, and specifically. The Holy Spirit intercedes for me with groanings which cannot be uttered, that I pray according to Father's will, because I ask Him to. And He often operates in those wonderful gifts of Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've already had wonderful healings and miracles, and there's healing and deliverance, so this is your party. Boy, are you missing your party if you don't come every Wednesday, 6 p.m. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. Jesus is the tree of life, and He's the Son of God, so I'm in a good location. Mm-hmm. Suntree, Florida, I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Amazing Grace Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Now, we've learned that the book of Hebrews is God instructing His church. He is trying to grow His church so we will be the perfect mature bride when He comes at the seventh trump at His second coming. And we learned that we grow from a baby Christian to a middle-class Christian, to a mature Christian. In other words, those who went to college, in other words, Hebrews is God College 101, 102, 103, and finally 104. So everybody who is a Christian, who is sincere serving the Lord, needs to know everything about Hebrews from the chapter 1 to chapter 13, because this equips you to help God build His church. Now, Hebrews chapter 7 is entitled Melchizedek. I went back and studied Melchizedek. You can read about him in Genesis 14. Abraham had captured the enemy and rescued his nephew Lot, and he'd gotten a lot of money. And Melchizedek met him. Abraham fell down, worshiped Melchizedek, and paid a tithe, one-tenth of his goods, to Melchizedek. Who was Melchizedek? He was a pre-incarnate Jesus. Jesus had not yet come in the flesh. Melchi in the Hebrew there in Genesis means king. Zedek is just king of the just, king of the saints. And he's called the king of Salem, the king of peace, shalom, and the priest of the Most High God. So it was definitely, very definitely Jesus. Now, all of Hebrews 7 is about Melchizedek. Jesus pre-incarnate. Therefore, from God's heart, to my heart, to your heart. Melchizedek and you came down from heaven. Melchizedek and you came down from heaven.
Verse 3. Without father, without mother.
Melchizedek is God. He always has been, he always will be. No father, no mother. He is God.
Without descent.
Descent means to come down to a lower state. In other words, to come from heaven, a higher state, to earth and put a flesh body, and that's the lower state. At the time that Abraham worshiped Melchizedek, that was pre-incarnate Jesus. He had not yet come down to descend into Mary's womb and become a baby in a flesh body. Now, every human being who has ever been and ever will be, and all of you, you came down from heaven. You descended from heaven. That's right. You were in heaven and you came down from heaven. Why is that? Because John chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus is speaking. He says, no man ascends back to heaven except first he descend from heaven. All of you are on the earth now. We're down here. We descended. You want to go to heaven, do you not?
Yes.
He says you can't go to heaven unless first you descended. In other words, you've already descended. That's not all you do, but that's the first step. You had to come down here. Okay, you descended from heaven. Now, in John 3, verses 1 through 5, there was a ruler, Nicodemus, a Pharisee. He came to Jesus by night. And he said, Jesus, you've got to be sent from God, because no man could do these miracles except God sent him. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God's word is perfect, but sometimes the translation makes a mistake. Again is incorrect. The original Greek there means, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So remember, Jesus said, no man ascends back to heaven except you first came down from heaven. So all of us, every human being, we were all there once upon a time at the same time. Were you in a flesh body? No. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Write it down. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. If the silver cord breaks, that means when your body dies, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Everybody say returns.
Returns.
That means you were there before. When you return, you were there before. Why were you a spirit? Because God is a spirit, and he's your father. So he created all of us, and we're little spirits. Okay, got it. Everybody was there, created at the same time. We're all the same age. That's why age doesn't bother me. I know I'm just as young as you, and I know you're just as old as I am. We're all the same age. Okay. Now, what were you called then? I mean, surely God called you something. What were you called then? Well, a lot of things. You were called Morning Star. Job chapter 38, verse 7. You know, Jesus is a day star, and Jesus is God, so he called you Morning Star. God Senior, God Junior, Day Star, Morning Star. He also called you the Sons of God. Job 38, verse 7. Everybody had already been created, so there was no need of a female. There was none of that going on there. We'd all been created. So we're all the sons of God, or the children of God. And you were also called an angel. Now, don't get yourself mixed up with Michael the archangel, or Gabriel, who stands before the face of God, or Revelation 4, Zoe, Azun, those who protect the mercy seat. Don't get yourself mixed up with the seraphims in Isaiah 6. But Revelation 12 talks about angels, and it's talking about you are a child of God minus the flesh. Children of God minus the flesh. Now, you are also called a stone of fire. Ezekiel chapter 28. Well, who is fire? That's our Father. Hebrews 12, 29. God is a consuming fire. And he called you a stone. Why did he call you a stone? Because he loves you. And he calls you a jewel. Malachi 3, also called a jewel. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, right on down a few of those verses there, he says you are lively stones. You weren't dead there. You were living stones. You were living stones. You were lively. And you are a jewel, Malachi chapter 3. So now that's what you were called. What were you doing there? You were singing. Why do people sing? James says, is any among you cheerful? Sing. We were singing because we were cheerful. Beside, God is a chief musician. How do I know you were singing? Job chapter 38, verse 7. Job had been beaten up by the devil, and God knew Job, and he wanted to encourage him. He said, Job, do you know where you were when the morning stars sang together? Do you remember singing together? You were singing there. You were also shouting for joy. I don't mean just say, I'm so happy. Shouting for joy. I'm happy. Why? God said, Job 38, verse 7, do you remember when the sons of God shouted for joy? You were very happy because there was no death, there was no age, there was no sickness, there was no war, there was no hurt, there was no stress, there was no disorder, there was no pride, there was no aggravation, there was no sin. And sin is what caused all the misery. Okay. Now, you were singing and you were shouting. What did you look like? You were absolutely perfect. You were beautiful. Absolutely, outstandingly beautiful. Did we all look alike? No. Just like now. We are different like snowflakes. We have a different DNA. And we liked that about each other. Because we knew that everybody was perfect. Everybody there was unique, one of a kind, in God's sight. Well, what did you look like? Some of you were red. Some of you were white. Some of you were black. Some of you were yellow. Some of you were brown. And it was beautiful. Why? Because he calls us his jewels. God is an artist. All us artists love colors. Before I went blind, I used to draw on this board. I used all kind of colors there. God's an artist, and we loved that. We loved that about each other. Well, when were you there? You were there in the first earth age. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 and 7, etc. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. The world that then was. The world should have been translated age, because in the Greek it's eon, E-O-N, the age that then was, the first earth age. That was then we were all there with him. That was when we were there, and we were all so happy. Why in the world did you leave all of that joy and descend down here on this miserable earth with all this sin and stress? Why did you do that? Because Ezekiel 28 says, there was a wonderful, perfect, angelic cherub there at that time. He was called King Taras. He had not sinned. He was called Taras because that means rock. He was a jewel also. He was a rock. But he's also called King because God the Father had promoted him to a higher state in heaven. He guarded the mercy seat. What an honor. And he would guard it when Jesus would come. Melchizedek would come and sit on it. He was very beautiful. God made the perfect pattern. He was very, very wise. And was a great musician. He played the tabret, the tambourine, the drums. And so everything was great, but why did you have to come here? Because in Isaiah 14, King Taras has other names. In Revelation 12, he's called Dragon. In Genesis, he's called Serpent. He's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. He's Satan, he's devil, and he's called Lucifer. Guess what? Lucifer means a morning star. He was a morning star too. But one day, he got jealous of Jesus, Melchizedek, pre-incarnate Jesus, sitting on the throne. And he said, I will be God. I will set my throne on the sides of the north And he overthrew God's kingdom and rebelled and brought sin into the equation. You say, well, that's great, but what did it have to do with me? Everything. Revelation 12 says, one third of you and others who have lived betrayed God also and followed that old dragon. He is that charismatic. Boy, is he good. And you followed him. Boy, that's high treason in heaven. And what do you do for somebody who commits treason? Like it used to do in America, Aaron Burr, you shoot him, you kill him. But God loved you, and he knew he'd been deceived, and he said, I'm going to give you another chance. And at that point, Melchizedek, the pre-incarnate Jesus, stepped up and said, Father, I will pay their sin debt for them. I will pay their sin debt so they can have another chance. So God the Father called all of us, every human being, ever been, ever will be, all of us, from all there together. And here's what he said to us, Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. Man means let's make you a flesh body. Let us. That is Elohim, God the Creator, talking to Elohim, plural in the Hebrew, God and his children. I'm going to make you a flesh body, and I'm going to take the memory away from you, whether you betrayed me, and I'm going to send you into the second earth age, and I'm going to give you a second chance. My son Jesus, the pre-incarnate Melchizedek, will take a body also, and he'll come and pay you sin debt. Now, you have to come from heaven, you have to come down. I'm going to send you from heaven, and then, of course, you have to repent, confess, and believe in Jesus. And that was a second chance. But wait a minute. Revelation 12 said, well, there's one third of us there. They did not betray him. We fought against that old dragon, Lucifer, King Tyrus. And we stood up for God. But God said, I choose you. I need you to do something for me. You are chosen from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 verse 4. Foundation in Ephesians is katabo Greek, the overthrow of Satan. Right then and there, God chose that one third. He said, I'm going to let you make a flesh body too. I'll also take the memory from you. I'm going to send out some of you in every generation, and began there with Abraham, right on down. All the way down, send you out. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Samuel, James, Peter, Paul, and the very elect alive right now to tell forth the oracles of truth to the whole wide world so my children can hear the truth. The elect don't always know it. They don't know it at first. There is something, though, in an elect. They have a purpose, and sometimes they misuse that purpose for the wrong reason. But somewhere in elect's life, God will interfere with you. He'll intervene because he chose you, and that's your job. But wait a minute. Reading Revelation 12, there's a third missing. Because I remember math, three-thirds makes a whole. We've only got the one-third human beings that betrayed him, one-third the elect. Where's the other third? Well, that third was so disgusting to Melchizedek, the pre-incarnate Jesus, that Jesus, when he came in the flesh in Revelation, says, you make me vomit. I want to spew you out of my mouth. You make me sick to my stomach. You are lukewarm. They just watched the show. They've been here in every generation right now. They're in the church. Oh, they're good. They come to church. They don't ever shake up anything. They never move anything. Just nice. Give me my remote. Give me my video. Give me my truck. Give me my paycheck. Give me my TV. I go to church. I be nice. Okay. That is why every human being is here. Okay. Let's learn some more.
Having neither beginning of days nor end of life.
Melchizedek pre-incarnate. Was, always is, always will be, God.
But made like unto the Son of God.
But Melchizedek finally did descend, plopped himself in a Virgin Mary's womb, and took himself a little baby Jesus body. And that was Emmanuel, God with us, now incarnate Melchizedek, King of the just, King of the elect.
Abideth the priest continually.
Jesus sits at the right hand of the throne of God now, ever living to make intercession for us, our great high priest, Melchizedek, back in heaven.
Verse 4. Now consider how great this man was.
Now let's just stop and think about this. This is awesome. Just think about that. He had all of that plan. I mean, he did all of that, has been working on that thousands and thousands of years. That is awesome. How great thou art. Amen. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Hallelujah. Even unto whom the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils.
He was so great. Abraham knew he was God. He bowed down and worshipped him and paid one tithe.
Verse 5, and verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood.
Now later on, there was a tribe of Levi. And God said, the tribe of Levi are to be my priest in every generation. The tribe of Levi are to be the prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and priests. They are the ones who will pray for you, teach you God's word, and do other things and watch over you. Okay, who in the world is a tribe of Levi? Well, Abraham, at the time he worshipped Melchizedek, did not yet even have Isaac. But Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel had 12 sons, the 12 patriarchs, the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. And one of those was called Levi. And the tribe of Levi always is supposed to be the priest line. I want to tell you something. My granddaddy is Aaron DeFate Hare. We're going to hear about Aaron soon. He's in heaven. My daddy is Corey Hare. He's in heaven. The sons of Korah, the Levitical singers and prophets. So I just wanted you to know, got a little Levi up here.
Amen.
Amen. Have a commandment to take tithes of the people.
So God says, I want the priest to always tell the people, you're supposed to bring your tithes in the storehouse because God wants to bless you. So the priests are supposed to tell the people, you are supposed to take up, pay your tithes, and you're supposed to take the tithes, and you're supposed to give them to Levi.
According to the law.
What law? Malachi chapter 3. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, I'll pour you out a blessing. You don't have room enough to receive it. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Your vine shall not cast the fruit the time before the field. And all nations will call you blessed. And you shall be in a lightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
It's in the Bible.
Yes.
So the priesthood tell you that. Look, it's the blessings.
That is of their brethren.
In other words, that means Christians are supposed to tithe. We don't tell lost people to tithe. We got to get them saved first.
Will they come out of the loins of Abraham?
Levi, the tribe of Levi, came out of Abraham. Now, when he was there, Levi was not even born. He was in heaven with God. But we're going to find out about Levi being in Abraham's loins, in his seed there, even as Abraham worshipped Melchizedek, a pre-incarnate Jesus.
Verse 6, but he whose descent is not counted from them.
Melchizedek. Now, we don't think that Melchizedek came from Levi, or do we need to talk about that?
Received tithes of Abraham and blessed him.
Well, Melchizedek, pre-incarnate Jesus, and only the priesthood, Levi, can accept the tribe's tithes. And he accepted Abraham's tithe and blessed him. Food for thought. We'll talk about that.
that had the promises.
I mean, Messiah was coming through Abraham's lineage.
Verse 7, and without contradiction.
In other words, listen, there's no question about this.
The less is blessed of the better.
Abraham was the less, and he was blessed by the better, Emmanuel Melchizedek. And we're the clay. And we're the less. And we're so greatly blessed by the greater. Thank you for your blessings, Father.
No, thank you,
Mother. Verse 8. And here, men that die receive tithes.
So, God appoints the priests all through the generation, but they don't live in the body forever. They go back to God.
But there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth.
When Melchizedek took the tithes from Abraham, he did finally take himself a body, but he arose from the dead and is alive forevermore. So our great high priest really is always alive.
Amen.
He's alive.
Amen.
Verse 9. And as I may so say.
And Paul is speaking. He says, I am going to tell you this, Christian.
Levi, who also received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham.
How could Levi pay tithes in Abraham? He had not yet descended from heaven. Because in Abraham's seed right there was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the 12 tribes. He was in the seed. So we might say that the priesthood of Levi, spiritually in the seed of Abraham, actually paid tithes to Melchizedek. Well, what is that teaching us? This tells us that all of the priests, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, we are also supposed to pay tithes. I do. I don't tithe to my ministry. I think that'd be very selfish. I tithe to other ministries, and I give generous offerings. So see, all preachers and pastors, teachers, you're supposed to pay tithes too. But why not give it out there, out of your ministry? Amen. You'll be blessed like I am.
Amen.
Verse 10. For he was yet in the loins of his father.
He was still there in Abraham's loins, but he was going to come.
When Melchizedek met him. Verse 11. If, therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron?
So when the pre-incarnate Melchizedek took a body in Mary's womb and was called Jesus, and we know he arose from the dead, I went back and sits at the right hand of God. He's our great high priest, ever living to make intercession for us. Then it's God's law that the priest line must be the tribe of Levi. God will never break his own law. So that means that somehow, some way, the Lord Jesus Christ is of the tribe of Levi. Now, we all know that he's of the king line, the line of tribe of Judah, because of the lineage of David, the tribe of Judah. But where does Levi fit in? It's in the Bible. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1 and 2, there's a high priest there, and he's called Zechariah. Now, let me go back to Aaron just a moment. Aaron was of the tribe of Levi, and he was the first high priest. And on down through his lineage finally came Zechariah there in Luke. And again, that's why I told you that my granddaddy is Aaron de Fate Hare, and Aaron de Fate Hare had my daddy, Corey, who's the tribe of Levi. Okay, so from Aaron came Zechariah in Luke 1 and 2. Zechariah was a full-blooded Levi. He was the priest then. But God had a law. The priesthood can only be equally yoked. Do not be unequally yoked. The priest, Zechariah, had to marry a full-blooded Levi woman. He married Elizabeth. She was a full-blooded Levi. Okay, got all the rules intact. But wait a minute. What about Jesus being the tribe of Levi? Well, remember when Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, "You just had the Immaculate Conception." To encourage Mary, Gabriel said, "Mary, your cousin," everybody say cousin,
cousin.
"Your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist." Mary and Elizabeth were first cousins. Of which tribe is Elizabeth? Levi. Are you down there? Okay. Mary and Elizabeth were cousins. Elizabeth was Levi. Elizabeth's mother and Mary's mother were of the tribe of Levi, the priesthood. And Isaiah said, "A woman's seed shall encompass a son." There was no man involved in the impregnation of Mary. So Jesus is a tribe of Levi. He didn't break his own rule. He's our high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us by Mary's mother. But he is also the tribe of Judah, the king line by Mary's father, Heli. And we'll get into that further. How great are you, God?
Yes.
4,000 years, you kept the marriage straightened out. Yep. The devil tried to intervene, to mix things up. You got this person to marry this person. Oh, my Lord, how great thou art.
Amen.
Look how great God is. The strategy, the blueprint plan. Because God is absolutely perfect, and his word is perfect. Therefore, Melchizedek and you came down from heaven. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. Very blessed after that.
Awesome word.
Deep word, yes.
David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in a bag. What is Scott's stuff?
And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Romans 13:11.
Perfect.
Amen.
We did not collude. Great Scott. I mean, it's
Amen.
Nearer. Jesus
yeah.
is coming again right after the Antichrist. Great Scott. Thank you for that.
Amen.
Now, before I pray for healing, I want to pray for anyone who's lost. We're all over the world now. I love you out there. Believe you me, I find out what country you're in. I'm starting to pray for you so God knows your name. And I love you, but he wants you to be saved. Pray this prayer with me now and mean it. And God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Forgive me for all of my sins.
Forgive me for all of my sins.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Sanctify me through thy truth.
Sanctify me through thy truth.
Thy word is truth.
Thy word is truth.
And use me.
And use me.
To tell what I just heard.
To tell what I just heard.
To everybody I meet.
To everybody I meet.
Use me. To win many souls to Jesus. Jesus, I am yours.
Jesus, I am yours.
I thank you.
For saving my soul.
I love you, Lord Jesus.
I love you, Lord Jesus.
And I will obey you.
Amen.
Amen. For those of you out in cyberspace, Romans says confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. In a little while, my announcer, Scott, will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call that number. It's my voicemail. You'll leave your confession there, and when I get it, I'll get it very soon. I will pray for you, and welcome to the family of God. You may also email me. Here is my email. Sherry, Shari, Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. That's Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Now, at this time, I normally pray for the sick, And in a way, that's what I'm going to do. But I just got a message on my voicemail. There's someone I love very much. I used to teach our daughter that the mother's mother has passed away. So I want to pray for healing for the heart of Lisa Shannon and her daughter, Whitney Shannon. Lisa Shannon, Whitney Shannon, I love you and I'm praying for you. They wanted me to come and do the eulogy, but I got the message too late to make arrangements, and I'll be working for God. He works me all the time, but I'll be praying for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up to you Lisa Shannon. We know, Father, you know her mother. And we know, Lord, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:7. So we asked you to welcome her home and say, well done. But now for Lisa Shannon and for Whitney Shannon, we ask, Father, that you will send the comfort of Lisa and Whitney, even the Holy Spirit. Let not their hearts be troubled. Give them peace that passes understanding. Let them rejoice to know that Lisa's mother and Whitney's grandmother is so happy and well. She's not sick. She's not hurting. She's rejoicing in your presence now. And let them rejoice to that. And know also that because Lisa and Whitney Shannon are your children, that they will be reunited again. So we ask you to bless Lisa and bless Whitney and take care of them and guide them into all truth and bless both of them. In all the world, to comfort Lisa and Shannon, we say, I agree in Jesus' name. But for those of you who are sick, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, we call forth healing in your backbone, healing in your heart, healing in your neck, healing in your stomach, healing in your heart, healing in your lungs, healing in your esophagus, healing in your throat, healing in your head, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Amen. Pick up your bed and walk. Hallelujah. He said his word and healed you. Hallelujah. Somebody got
Amen.
That.
Amen.
I agree in Jesus' name. I agree in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world, Sherry Medlock, because I just told you what you've always wanted to know. Very few of you really knew the whole story. But your best friend is a pre-incarnate Melchizedek, and now our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No greater loveth this than a man lay down his life for his friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His left hand is under your head. His right hand embraces you. He loves you, and I love you with all my heart. I'm looking forward to the next time all over the world, Trumpet Truthers, that we get together and hear the joyful sound as a family of God of
the Trumpet of Truth.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
giant of his grace. My gracious master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. So come on. That bids our sorrow cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears. 'Tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. So come on. New life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice. The humble poor believe. Glory to God and praise and love be ever, ever given by saints below and saints above, the church in earth and hell. So come on and sing out loud.
Rising, eyes are turning.
we turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you, 'cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Washed away.
and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
My faith will be made stronger in the presence.
soul.